September is a busy month for artist Dorothy Cross. Her exhibition, I Dreamt I Dwelt, opens tomorrow night at the Carlin Gallery. A new work, a giant piece of marble with Mount Everest on top, called Everest Erratic, will go on show in the grounds of the Irish Museum of Modern Art. And a major project called Hardship will be the centrepiece of Sounds from a Safe Harbour Festival in Cork City. I met up with Dorothy Cross this morning at the Carlin Gallery, where she took me through the three pieces that make up the exhibition there. The exhibition, which is called I Dreamt, I Dwelt.
We're standing in front of a floor made of Carrara marble, which I'm calling Room. And in the centre of this floor, which is about 5 metres long, a shark is emerging out of the marble, carved from the stone.
Carrara, first of all, let's get that bit of Italian reference out of the way, first of all.
Yes, Carrara marble is probably one of the most famous marbles in the world because Michelangelo carved his David from it, and it's a spectacular terrain in the middle of Italy where the mountain is formed from white marble. Spectacular place. It's like an iceberg meets an ice cream cake, and they're still quarrying it. And I started working there about 3 years ago and have this great relationship with a studio called Carlo Nicoli, where the men are such brilliant craftsmen. And I brought a model of a shark that I had acquired from a fishmonger's in Carlingford when I was making a bronze version of a shark with Mount Everest on its back. And the reason I had done that was because the shark is an ancient, ancient animal and that I adore and respect so much and is under such threat by the greed of present man on the planet. But when I put the Mount Everest on its back, that dates from about 60 million years ago, but the shark itself dates to 400 million years. And to carve it out of Carrara is in some sense trying to relate it to time and the geology of the marble, because marble itself is formed through the accumulation of debris on the bottom of the sea, which is then risen up into the peaks of the mountains. So it is in effect coming from a seabed. And in this particular case also, that relationship between the shark, which most people hate and fear, really epitomizes, I think, our human projection of our own fears of mortality. So for me, this presence of the shark in the floor of what is also referred to through the title of the show, which is I Dreamt, I Dwelt, is kind of honourable.
You say you acquired the shark from a fishmonger in Carlingford. Now, there must be a story there, first of all. And given, you know, the way you speak so passionately about your respect for the animal and your worries about how the animal is fished and used for food, what kind of ethical considerations do you have, or did you have to have, around that acquisition?
Well, I was sure that I wasn't going to have a shark killed for art. And a law came into Ireland several years ago that we're no longer allowed to sell them for food, which is really great. But there was a fishmonger in Carlingford called Patsy, who was a friend of a friend of mine, and he said he might have a shark in his freezer because he was no longer allowed to sell it. So I called him up. He said very kindly, call me back on Monday. He said, what would you like, ideally, in terms of a shark? And I was aesthetically choosing here. I said, a blue shark, 2 metres long. He phoned me back on Monday. He said, I have one shark in the freezer, and it's a blue shark, and it's 2 metres long. And the blue shark frequents our waters. It's a very elegant shark. It's very pointed, with very long pectoral fins. So, aesthetically, very, very beautiful. So I picked it up, actually, at a roundabout outside Dublin several years ago, and put it on the roof of my car and drove it to a bronze art foundry, where we made a mould, which we then subsequently made into a piece called Everest Shark in bronze. Then I brought a wax model of the same shark to Italy, and so that its origin is the truth of the shark. I haven't fabricated some notion of the animal itself.
And the way in which you mentioned there that the craftsmen carved the shark just comes out almost of one of the tiles. Now, was that a block of marble from which the shark was carved out?
Exactly. So you watch it emerging like some kind of fossil. And the accuracy they have is extraordinary. They use point system, which is like these pointed pencils that define the actual model, and they find that exact point as they excavate the stone. So you're quite right, it would have been a vast block.
And there is something in the quality of the marble. It's a slightly off-white colour with grey veins through it. There is something of the quality of almost of a frozen sea.
Yes, actually there is. And I've just made a new piece for Imma that is, I call it Everest Erratic, and it's also made of Carrara marble. It just arrived this morning. It weighs 7 tonnes, and Mount Everest is carved on the top. And what you get, it's actually quite a pure white. In the days of Michelangelo, there is a type of marble called statuario, which was pure white, and that has been so mined and quarried that there's very little of it left, and what is left is incredibly expensive. This is a lesser quality, but as you say, what happens with these beautiful grey veins is you have that mixture between kind of ice and or frozen sea, and the erratic up in Imma is like an iceberg meets some geological deposit.
I dreamt I dwelt in marble halls, obviously, in the Balfe, Bohemian Girl. Was that something you mentioned your mother? Was it an opera that was listened to regularly at home? Was it something that was just there in the ether?
It was in the ether. It was very popular when I was young. It was always on the radio. And my mother wasn't particularly a singer, but she loved it. And we actually lived in quite a big house that was very cold, with very tall ceilings and walls. And she had a beautiful aesthetic, which was almost nothing. So she would put a camellia, and that would be it. She had such a sense of visual perfection. So I do associate that song with her. But also, I think it is aspirational. You know, imagine if the whole floor of this gallery was marble, walls and ceilings. Then it would be, you know, complete as a piece, you know, with nothing else but the shark coming out of it.
Let's move down to number two, if you like, of the three works. Again, maybe give us the title here and describe what we're looking at.
We call this Listen, Listen. I had made one piece called just Singular Listen. But it's a pair of bed pillows, and in each pillow there's an impression where the head might have lain during sleep. And within that hollow is the right ear and the left ear. So it's like a double bed with two pillows with a right and a left ear. And for me, the title is terribly important, again, in terms of listening to time and listening to history and listening to the unconscious, in a way, in terms of sleep, but also the right ear and the left ear. You know, you have the right and left side of the brain, the intellectual and the intuitive. So it's trying to bring those two things together. And actually, it's an appeal, in a way, the title is an appeal to listen to the earth and not treat it as if our lifespan is all that matters, because we're talking about millions of years in terms of the geology of the stone. And in these pillows, which are so beautiful, they're actually made from Greek marble, and they have these beautiful veins in them. It's a different marble than Carrara, and it's more crystalline. But again, I would go to Carrara with a couple of pillows in my suitcase, and I cast my own ears in this particular case, which was quite a tricky thing to do. And I build them up with tempera and paint and make them solid. And then the carvers carve them to perfection.
You almost feel as if you want to put your head down in them, but they obviously would be cold and hard.
You know, you can touch them there. They're smooth as silk.
Given that we're looking at pillows, we're looking at the left ear on one pillow, the right ear on the other pillow, you talk about sleep and listening. Is the dream world, is the sleep world, is that a source of imagery for you? Do you listen to dreams? Do they play a part in your artistic practice?
When I was young, I did. When I was kind of hooked into Jungian analysis and thought that was the way to delve into that kind of symbolism. I do less so now. One thing I've always done with my work is I've always presented what is real. Like, it's a pillow, it's an ear, it's a shark. So straight away, you don't have to get through too many hurdles. You have identifying points that you can relate to. But then what I think I'm trying to do is shift perception by going, oh my God, there's an ear growing out of this pillow, or is this the result of someone sleeping there?
Let's go up and see what code or what puzzle you have for us then in the third piece, which, as I walk towards it from this distance, we're simply looking at a mound of stones, but as I get nearer, I see letters. What's happening here?
Well, this is, as you say, a pile of stones with 26 stones amongst them that have beautifully carved letters of the alphabet, the Roman alphabet. And the pile, I gathered these stones, they're quartz from the beaches in Connemara. They were carved beautifully by a man in Dublin, these letters. So this piece, again, they all relate to each other, but it's kind of like this seashore where the possibility of language is scattered. So you could talk about it optimistically as some kind of reformation of language that helps us to make conscious, or you could talk about it in terms of the collapse of language.
The heart must have fluttered when you found a heart recently. You've been in search of a heart, and this is not a physical thing within yourself. You've been in search of a heart for another artwork that you're currently working on. Explain why you were searching for it and explain how you finally got what you were looking for.
Yes, it's funny that all these things are happening in September. It's a piece called Heartship, which I was invited by Mary Hickson of the Festival Sounds from a Safe Harbour in Cork to make a piece of work on a naval vessel. And immediately I had an idea, because I had just heard Lisa Hannigan sing her beautiful song, Prayer for the Dying, which has a refrain, your heart, my heart. I thought, we have a Navy ship, Lisa could sing on it, her beautiful song, and I could borrow a human heart to place in the ship, because the Irish Navy have been doing such extraordinary work in the Mediterranean, saving people from drowning. You know, as we're speaking here now, I wonder how many people are drowning and nobody is saving them. So the idea was symbolically that we would place the relic of a human heart in the ship. I had seen one in a show in London that was in the collection of Pitt Rivers Museum. That was found in Cork, and this is the beautiful poetry of it, in a crypt under Christ Church in the centre of Cork City in 1863 by a man who was excavating. No name, no gender, no date. At the time, General Pitt Rivers was a British Army officer stationed in Cork when we were still under British rule. He acquired the heart. He was a collector who then, subsequently, his collection is on show in Oxford in the museum, the Pitt Rivers Museum, which is a cabinet of wonders. So the heart from Cork went there. That heart now we finally managed to borrow for a performance that will happen in Cork on the 14th of September as part of Sounds from a Safe Harbour. The Navy vessel, the Ellie James Joyce, is coming up the river anyway. It was coming up for one of its public presentations. So they're very kindly letting us come on board with Lisa. We've already recorded exquisite music with Lisa and a glass harmonica player called Alistair Molloy. Music about love. And that will be pulsating out of this ship as it comes up the river. Then it will dock, and she will sing some songs on the boat. And the heart will be present on board, but you actually won't see it. It's so old and delicate, it can't be shown. For the following 3 days, it will be on show in the Glucksmann Gallery in Cork, so you can actually see it.
Dorothy Cross there, and talking to us about, in the second part of that interview, Heartship, which you can see at Sounds from a Safe Harbour Festival, and that will take place on the Heartship part of it on Saturday, September the 14th. Information on soundsfromasafeharbour.com, and the previous exhibition, I Dreamt I Dwelt, opens at the Carolyn Gallery in Dublin tomorrow, Thursday, and it runs through until October the 19th.